Good morning, everyone. I am Andrew. It is so good to be with you this morning. I recently have started trying mushroom coffee. I don't know if you've heard of this, but if you hear some random Mario power-up sounds while I'm preaching today, you'll have context for that now, because I did have my mushroom coffee this morning. We just came through the end of another round of Alpha, which if you haven't heard of Alpha, it's 11 weeks with an extra day in the middle of that on a Saturday where we have dinner, open discussion, dinner, a video, and open discussion. And it's such a great time. If you've not done Alpha yet, please talk to me about it. We'll do it again in September after the fair, because that's when life starts again in Wayne County. But seriously, if you haven't done Alpha, you should. But something I get to do at Alpha every week is I get to tell a joke, and people just have to sit there and endure it. So I'm going to tell you a joke this morning. If you've been to Alpha, you have heard this joke, but I love this one, so here we go. So there was these four dads, and they were sitting in the waiting room while their wives were all back having C-sections. And so they're kind of nervous talking to each other. And so the nurse comes out, comes to the first dad, and says, "Sir, congratulations, your wife had twins." He's like, "Oh my goodness, that is crazy. I work at the Petronas Twin Towers." So they're all like celebrating with him. The nurse goes back. The next nurse comes out to the second dad. He's like, "Sir, congratulations, your wife had triplets." He's like, "You've got to be kidding me. I work at the 3M company." So the nurse goes back. Another nurse comes out, goes to the third dad. "Sir, congratulations, your wife had quadruplets." He's like, "You have got to be kidding me. I work at the Four Seasons Hotel." And so the nurse goes back. By this time, the fourth dad is sitting there. He's panicking, sweating bullets, totally in panic mode. And they're talking to him, and they're like, "Dude, like, you should be happy. What's going on?" He's like, "Oh, I work at the 7-Eleven. All the Alpha jokes are not that good, I'll warn you. But as we talk about uncertain, the problem that I know that we have, that I know that I have had in my life, is that when we get our eyes off of Jesus, everything is uncertain. When we get our eyes off of Jesus, everything becomes uncertain. We become the 7-Eleven dad. We go into panic mode, all the things. And for me, maybe for you too, I can have this tendency just in my life to do things, to go through life, and somewhere along the way, I've drifted. As Pastor would say, the drift is on. I've gotten my eyes off of Jesus. I'm looking other places. Maybe not always bad things, but I'm looking other places. And then specifically when things get difficult, instead of turning to him or looking to him, I turn to temporary things to satiate whatever I'm feeling or thinking or needing, thinking I need in that moment, instead of turning to our eternal God who has already done it all for us. And so today, as Pastor was mentioning, as we're recognizing Memorial Day weekend and those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice for us, for our freedom here in America, I want to just focus in for a few minutes and encourage us that we need to remember what Jesus has done for us and the freedom that he has provided to all of us. And so in the book of John, chapter 14, there's this verse. You've probably heard this verse. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but it is popular. Verse 6 from the New Living says, Jesus told them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus makes this very bold and exclusive claim about himself. He is the only way to God, the only way to heaven. And this was totally different than what the Pharisees, the religious leaders at the time would have told you. You have to keep the law, you have to do all this stuff. And Jesus says, "No, I am the only way." It is exclusive. And it directly goes against our culture today, this kind of all-inclusive of, well, just do what feels right and you can still get to heaven. Just be good enough and you can make it. Jesus came completely against that when he says this. And so today, for the next few minutes, I want to help us look to Jesus. That's the name of my message, look to Jesus. And we're going to focus in around this passage, the way, the truth, and the life. But I am going to preach it backwards because I'm preaching and you're not, and I can do whatever I want. So we're going to go life, truth, and land on the way, okay? So if you're taking notes, that's where we're headed. So number one, Jesus is the life. Jesus is the life. A little bit earlier in the book of John, there's this passage where Jesus is going, and he finds out that Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus has died, and he's on his way back, and there's this great interactions where he's talking to the disciples, all these things are happening, but he ends up there with Mary, and he's talking to Martha in this passage I'm about to read, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And Martha had just said to Jesus, he said, because Jesus was saying that Lazarus will live again. He was dead, but he will live again. And Martha is like, well, yes, Jesus, when everyone rises at the end time, everyone will be alive. And Jesus says this. He says, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. And then he asked her this question, do you believe this, Martha? Right in the middle of this passage, Jesus asked Martha this piercing question, do you believe that you will never die if you believe in me? So what I would ask you today, do you believe that he is the life? Do you believe? I got a lot of Bible today, so just be ready for that. I hope that's okay with you. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20, thinking Jesus is the life. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all of creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. That's us. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. He is the first in everything. For God, in all of his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Jesus came into this world to do what we could never do for ourselves. He came to save us, to give us new eternal life. Jesus is the life. We could not do this without him. We were created as eternal beings. And when we say yes to Jesus, we inherit this eternal life. And I love the way Pastor Sheldon teaches this in basics. It's not just eternal life after we die. When we say yes to Jesus, eternal life starts right then in that moment. Jesus is the life. I told you, mushroom coffee. I warned you, I'm getting excited today. He's given us this opportunity for eternal life, and he's also given us the promise of the Holy Spirit. This reborn, this word for being born again in the New Testament is so powerful. It's this new life, literally, totally transformed. And we also have the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us and is our guide and our helper through it all. So number one, Jesus is the life. Don't worry, I'm moving quickly, but this is all planned. So don't look at the clock too much today. Just stick with me today. Number one, Jesus is the life. Number two, Jesus is the truth. John 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. And to be clear, you can't see it here because all these are capital letters. But if you look in the Bible, that W is capitalized. The Word is Jesus. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. John is like, are you getting this yet? Hello? He was there. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Pastor Andrew, how do you know he was there at creation? Genesis 1, verse 26, the A part. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image. The Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, were all there in the moments of creation. 1 John 1, we go to John's epistle now. Verse 1, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and we have seen. We saw him with our own eyes, and we touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. We're talking about Jesus being the truth. And my main thought through all these verses, I could keep going, is that Jesus was always the plan. There was not a plan B. Jesus was always the plan from the very beginning moments of creation. Throughout the entire story of the Old Testament, everything points to Jesus. He was, and he is, and he is to come. Revelation 1:8, it's there. He was there in the very moments of creation. He is here with us now through the Holy Spirit living inside of us when we've said yes to him. And he is coming again. I don't know what else we could be more excited about. He was, he is, and he is to come. He is the truth in a world that spins in uncertainty. As Pastor would say, true is a who. And we know Jesus is that who. True is a who. So if we apply some simple logic this morning, if Jesus is the truth and Jesus is also the word, then we can continue to learn and grow in the truth by getting his word in us. I have people all the time over the years of being in ministry, Pastor Andrew, how do I hear God's voice? How do I know what I should do? Where do I turn? How can I know God's truth? It's in the book. How often do we let the book sit and we let uncertainty spin and spiral and our brains go to this place of fear and worry and anxiety when God is saying, I've given you the truth. I've handed it to you. I was just talking to my friend Rejoice McClure down here this morning. She wrote me a note. I switched my office here at church just this last week or two, and I found this note that Joyce had given me. It's something she has written on the inside of her Bible cover, and it says, if you're too busy to read this book, then you're busier than God wants you to be. It's like, oh, okay, Joyce, I got it. But really, okay, Lord, I got it. How often do we spiral in uncertainty when the truth is, you can have the Bible app on your phone. It can be in your hand, in your pocket at all times. Why don't we go to the truth? And this truth thing is something we talk about often around here at Worcester NAS. Our vision frame, we have our vision overall, which is our mission, loving God, loving people, living transformed. But underneath that, we have these five values that are basically these foundational pieces for why we do what we do around here. And the number one on that list is truth. Truth, worship, prayer, kindness, generosity. I'm not going to sing the song, Sheldon. I will not. Truth. But when we say truth, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about we stand on the truth of God's word. We stand on the truth of Jesus. He is the truth. And we will unshakably stand on that here at Worcester Naz. That's what we're saying. And if you look at the graphic, Karma's done such a great job. It is the cornerstone piece of this wall that we've built around our values. And it's all on purpose because he is the truth. Acts chapter 3. This is Peter talking. He says, "You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact." He was saying to the people, "We saw Jesus die. We saw him rise again." And this resurrection moment, the moment that we celebrate in Easter, that Jesus died on the cross, was in the grave for 3 days, and he rose again with victory over sin, hell, death, and the grave. This resurrection moment validated everything that Jesus did while he was on earth. It proved that he was the truth. Everything he did was in public. He didn't hide it. There was no secret cover-up. Everything was publicly witnessed, and almost every one of those disciples went to their deaths being martyred, making claims about it. And so today, I want to encourage us that we can boldly choose to say with full confidence that he is the truth, the ultimate truth. We can believe it, we can live it, we can know it. Number one, Jesus is the life. Number two, Jesus is the truth. Number three, Jesus is the way. And yes, worship people, you can start coming back up already. I know it's early. Jesus is the way. I want to go back to John chapter 14, where this Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life verse happens. And if you read in the book of John, which I suggest you do, it's so good, so good. I mean, all the Bible's good. John is so good. But if you read around this, because context is so important, right before we find this verse, Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. He's identified Judas as the one that will betray him. Judas has gone away, and the disciples are so, like, simple-minded. I don't know. They still didn't get, some of them didn't get that Judas was betraying Jesus. Like, all this is happening, and then Jesus calls Peter out and says, "You're going to deny me," and Peter's like, "No, I'm not," and Jesus is like, "Yes, you are." Like, that's what just happens. And then we find this passage, and even after this passage, it continues into the Last Supper, and, like, Jesus does this big download of all these things to the disciples before he goes to the cross. And that's where we find John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." This is right after he calls Peter out. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you don't know the way to where I'm going." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way?" Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Jesus goes on in this passage to talk about the Holy Spirit. This is some of the best teaching on the Trinity in the whole Bible. Jesus saying, "I am him. I am doing what my Father in heaven has called me to do. If you've seen me, you've seen him, and the Holy Spirit is coming." That's what he goes on to say. But in this passage, if you read in some of the commentaries, Thomas said, "No, Lord, we don't know the way. We have no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way? And then Jesus flips that around and he starts with, I am the way. He says it first. He flip-flops Thomas's question and he starts with, no, I am the way. There's this crazy emphasis that I can't really properly explain to you with our English language because of the Greek and all the context there. But it's so intentional, important, the way Jesus says this. He was telling the disciples, there is no other way. There's no other way. There's no other law you can keep from the Old Testament like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, all these religious leaders thought you had to do. There's no other thing that you can do, like Pastor Nate just said a few moments ago, to clean yourself up so that you can get ready for him to save you. There's no other thing to do. There's no other article to read, no other opinion to hear. Jesus is saying, there is no other way to the Father except through him, through me, is what he said. There is no other way. He is the way. Later on, New Testament, in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, he's in this section and he's talking about, like, why does he keep going out? Because Paul had so many hardships and so many troubles and so many things that happened to him. And he might have even been in prison when he was writing this letter. And Paul is saying, before what I'm about to read you, he's saying, we have this hope of eternal life. And I'm going to keep preaching about it. I'm going to keep telling people about it. I'm going to keep sharing it because Paul knew, he's saying, I know that Jesus is the way. And so nothing is going to stop me from telling people about him. And so we pick up verse 16. Paul says, that is why we never give up. This hope of eternal life is why we can never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. And I want you to get this. So we don't look at the troubles that we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. I want to use simple logic one more time this morning. If we continue in that way of thinking, if we know, and I would say we do know, that Jesus is the way to eternal life, and we know that the temporary situations or difficulties that we're facing today will all fade away, we can choose today to declare in faith that since he has already made a way for us to be with him in eternity, he will make a way for us to persevere whatever we are facing today. He did it then. We sing a song. He's going to do it again, and he's going to keep on doing it until we're united with him in glory. But I know in my life, and I'm worried for all of us, that we get stuck in this mode where we're looking at all of these things right here. Our eyes are down. The things are blocking our view. And Jesus is saying today, will you just look up? Look to me. And he's saying to you this morning, I made a way for you to have eternal life, that you are an eternal being. I laid down the truth for you. And I will make a way through everything you're facing because I know life is not easy. I know it's hard. I know there's those of you that are grieving, those of you that just had surgery this week, diagnoses, difficulty with children, family. I get it. But I want to encourage you this morning that he will make a way. I'm going to read this verse. They're going to sing. And I'm going to come back. They're going to sing this song that maybe you've heard, but it's called Make a Way. And oh, it's so good. Let me read this verse quick. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the truth, and he is the way. And I want to encourage you this morning that whatever you're facing, we can do what this is saying right here by keeping our eyes on Jesus. And as they sing this song, I want you to hear these words. And maybe as you hear them for the first time, you'll learn them. And maybe you need to start singing these words, declaring his truth over your life. Whatever situation you're facing, whatever you're going through, it might be even the best times of your life. He's going to continue to be with you. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing's impossible for him. He will make a way. Let's sing this song together.